Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Atlanta, Georgia, it's time for Atlanta Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Lee Cantor here with Stone Payton, another episode of Atlanta Business Radio. Stone, we got a full house today.
Hey, we do. We have a studio full. A little bit later in the program, we're going to get a chance to visit with Director of Events with Amped Entertainment, Mr. Michael Walsh. And we're going to speak with Associate Broker for the Residences at W Atlanta, Mr. Eric Dowdy. But first up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, it is my distinct pleasure to introduce the CEO of Hunsaker Partners. Could you give us just a little bit of an overview of Hunsaker Partners? What are you guys out there doing for folks?
Yes, thank you very much for having me today, and it's a pleasure to be on the radio live. I think my message is one that none of us like to think about, but all of us will probably have to at some time or another. And Hunsaker Partners is a company that owns funeral homes, cemeteries, and crematories here in Atlanta, and probably some of the best and state-of-the-art facilities here to serve our families. And, you know, in this industry, I've spent a lifetime working toward helping families. I grew up in it, and it's all that I know. And while it's a topic none of us like to think about, I do want to share with you some great things that are going on out there to serve families.
Now, having grown up in this business, when a person, everybody deals with it, like you said, but it's not something you think of ahead of time, right? So the conversations you have, is that you're trying to have these conversations earlier in the process? Is that your objective?
I think so. I think we can do our children and the generations that come after us a favor by starting to have these conversations early. Mm-hmm. The reason is that none of us can ask our loved ones once they're gone. And we've really got two choices. We can either make great decisions for ourselves while we are clear-minded and our families are around us, or we can make decisions at a time of despair and great sorrow.
And chaos.
Right. Or you cannot make them at all and leave them to risk and leave someone else to make them for you.
Right.
And which is often the case. And if you really want to do your family and your kids a favor, the best thing that you can do is to start to think about these things in advance. Because then children's children aren't sitting around saying, wow, I wished I would have known, or I wish I would have asked, or, you know, so many times families will sit in the arrangement conference and there's four children there and they're like, let's pick the red dress for mom. And then the one daughter will say she hated that dress. And then just the most simple of decisions, right, are derailed. And so you really have two choices, is to make a great decision while you're here and mm-hmm. plan for your own future, or leave it to chance and risk and allow someone else to make it for you. And at our company, Southern Cremations and Funerals, at Cheatham Hill Memorial Park. And, you know, I need to talk about Cheatham Hill Memorial Park. It's one of the most historic, beautiful cemeteries here in Atlanta.
Yeah.
And it's right up on Dallas Highway in Marietta. And we've got a brand new funeral home there and state-of-the-art crematory and a one-of-a-kind, unlike anything in Atlanta, botanical cremation garden. And it's so important that people know we're there. And just, quite frankly, come and visit. The setting is spectacular.
So now, what's a typical scenario? Somebody dies, you know, unexpectedly or even expectedly, they just call you, they go through the internet and Google funeral home? Like, do they have no clue at all?
I don't think there's ever a typical scenario, right? Because there's not just a typical person. Everyone's situation is going to be different, just mm-hmm. like everyone grieves different, everyone plans different. But I think a scenario that we should keep in the front of our mind is you plan for every other main event in your life.
Yeah, but scary ones we don't like to plan for.
Correct, but they're sometimes the most important to think about, right? Because they're emotionally charged. And so, the best favor you can do is start to have these conversations in advance with your spouse, with your partner, with your loved ones, so that you can start to say, not only here's what I want, but here's what I want it to look like. And here are the pieces that I do want. And it's just as important to identify the pieces that you don't want as well.
Right. But it just seems to me, I mean, we've interviewed lots of business owners, and a lot of lawyers do wills and trusts and things like that. And to have that conversation is difficult.
Yes, absolutely.
There's a high percentage of people who don't have a will. So, correct. I mean, if they can't even have that conversation, how are they having a conversation with you?
Well, I think our legal profession has done a pretty good job at saying, asking two questions, do you want to be buried or do you want to be cremated, right? And then it kind of stops there. And then they move on because it is difficult. I think what families need to answer is, yes, I want to be cremated, and then what? Mm-hmm. And I want to paint for you an interesting scenario. You know, mom will say to dad will say to mom in passing, hey, just cremate me. Okay, well, mom heard that, or dad heard that when mom said it.
But it was like a private conversation.
And then it kind of stops there. And then, so mom takes dad at dad's will. Mom cremates dad, right? Mom brings dad's urn home because why? She loves dad. She doesn't have a plan. Dad didn't give her much beyond, hey, cremate me.
Right.
She brings that urn home, and she does what with it? She sets it on the bedside table or in the living room or on the mantle. Then what happens when we say goodbye to mom and we've got two urns, right? And then you've got four kids looking at each other saying, do you want them? Do you want them?
Right.
I don't want them. Do you want them? But what's interesting, and here's the important point of my message today and where Cheatham Hill Memorial Park and what we're doing there plays in, is because these urns become a significant burden for the generations that follow.
Right.
Right? And what I mean by that is nobody's made a plan for what happens to that urn 5, 10, or 50 years from now. And what's starting to happen, and y'all have probably seen this on TV and radio, right? They're showing up in garage sales. They're showing up in river bottoms. They're showing up abandoned because mom didn't make a plan for her and dad's urn. And so what we've done at Southern Cremations and Funerals at Cheatham Hill Memorial Park is we've built a multi-million dollar botanical garden type urn garden. Memorial cremation garden. It's got movement and flow and water features, and it's got extremely robust landscaping. Because what it begins to answer is what happens to that urn 5, 10, or 50 years from now. But we wouldn't be able to help mom with dad if mom and dad didn't have this conversation together beyond just cremate me. Just cremate me and then what? And so it's an obligation of not only our industry, but of each other so that we can answer these questions and so we don't hand that burden to the next generation and leave them to decide, and then what.
But then how do you want to get involved in the conversation? Like, at what point do you want the family to come to you and come with a game plan on how to deal with mom and dad? Like, what's your perfect way of dealing with
it? I think a perfect scenario is, you know, if I could just give you an example of what happened yesterday. We had a very nice couple, probably in their 50s, maybe 60s, I don't know, very healthy, very dynamic, well-spoken. Earlier this week, they were on their way to vote. And they drove by and saw our new signs, and they said, you know, we've been talking about this, and we've really never kind of thought about it. And since we kind of have the day off and we're going to go and vote, tell us what's going on. Mm-hmm. And we had a really nice dialogue with this amazing couple. And we give every family that comes to see us what's called a personal planning guide. Mm-hmm. And in there, it outlines the over 300 decisions that you and your family need to make in the event that a death occurs in your family.
Wow.
Right? And it walks you through all of those things in advance. And then what you can do is start to place it with your will and with your significant financial or other papers in a safe place. And it starts that planning and that thinking about all of those things that you either do, and again, I want to say, do not want.
Right.
And it starts that process. And I think they were very grateful, and they said, wow. And they're probably going to come back and see us when they're ready. But what we did is we planted a seed for them as a healthy, vibrant, living couple. Mm-hmm. To start to make a plan that is their plan, not somebody making a plan for them.
Right.
And that's when it needs to occur. Is oftentimes when we get people making a plan is when one spouse or another had to care for someone, and then they're like, that was the most difficult experience I've been through. I don't want my kids to have to try and figure this out on their own. I'm going to go ahead and record my wishes.
Right, and be proactive.
But usually it takes something happening to force that. And that's kind of sad, really.
So now, what was the it sounds pretty innovative to have this botanical element to your facility. Is that an innovation that you guys came up with?
It is. And, you know, our cemeteries have always been a place of great comfort, of heritage, of really genealogy for our country. And as cremation has continued to grow, and it is growing very rapidly here in Atlanta and all major cities.
What is the percentage?
About 50% of all families or all deaths result in cremation in Atlanta today.
Really?
Yes.
And so is that dramatically up?
The state is around 28 to 30% because the rural areas, but you get in the major cities, and you've got California and Florida that have been at 70% cremation for a long time now.
Wow.
Right? So with a lot of people choosing cremation, they'd say, yes, I want cremation, but they forget that next step, and that is, and then what?
Right.
Right? And so we have taken our very historical cemetery, Cheatham Hill Memorial Park, and we own two other cemeteries too, Holly Hill Memorial Park in Fairburn and East Lawn Memorial Park in McDonough. And we've created spaces there specifically for this family, this cremation family, so that they can create a place where a family or their next of kin or their relatives can come to find their name, much like cemeteries on the traditional level have done for years.
And then, so what's it like if I'm walking through there? It's
beautiful.
It's very meditative?
Yes, it's a beautiful space that you enter into and exit out of. There's a lot of movement and flow. There's a huge granite ball that floats on water that mimics the earth turning. There's a big fountain that is multi-tier and lit. There is music. There is uplighting. And then, of course, the landscape is very robust, very colorful. And the misdirectional pathways lead you to wonder what's around the corner. And there is something there for everyone of all economic means. Mm-hmm. And because what we want to do is start to take this very historic, very beautiful cemetery that we all know and love and start to make it a place for everybody, just not those that are choosing traditional burial. And the neat thing about Cheatham Hill Memorial Park is it's been there for decades. It's going to be there for decades. You know, a lot of people think cemeteries are full. Our park has just as much undeveloped land as we've got developed, and we've got at least another 200 years of inventory if things were to continue on as they are.
So you're ready for the zombie apocalypse if that
I'm not sure about that. But you know, there's one other thing that we've done there, and we've created world-class, first-class operations. And what I mean by that is our funeral home, we have a crematory, state-of-the-art on site. Everything is there. And in the past, you would go to the funeral home, and then you'd go to the cemetery, and then you would go.
Right, these were all separate.
Today, we've got a campus where everything one needs is there.
So now, okay, so I get my parents decide to be cremated, the one dies, then the urn is placed in this botanical garden?
Yes, it's what we call a cremation memorial garden.
Mm-hmm.
And there are a lot of choices there, from upright, you know, niches to beautiful cremation benches to, we have a 7-foot granite angel in the garden that somebody had made, and we can do almost anything. It's only limited by your imagination or your family's wishes. So.
Oh, so then you get that full experience, that traditional experience, but in this kind of setting.
Correct. And, I mean, it's just beautiful. We have people actually coming to the cemetery to just sit there
to
and
walk around it.
And you know, sit by the big granite rolling ball and listen to the fountains and listen to the music. And it's just beautiful. The cemetery is beautiful anyway.
And you're all right with that, right?
The Absolutely. We want the public there. We want to know we're there. And I believe the best way to create an experience for anyone's family is to get them there in advance and let them start thinking about it in advance.
Mm-hmm.
What suits you? It's all about you. It's about your family. It's about the legacy you want to leave for yourself.
Right.
And so, of course, we want people there in advance.
Are you doing events there, like music events or things to draw people there?
That's a very good question. Thank you for asking. We do have on the 6th and 7th at all three of our memorial parks a luminary service, and it's where we put a luminary on every grave that's there, as well as line the pathways. We'll have a prayer service. We'll have music and choirs, and it's just really well done. I mean, the whole cemetery is just spectacular at dusk. And so we do that during the holidays. Of course, next Tuesday is Veterans Day. And we're going to be honoring our veterans that are buried there. And then as we advance into the spring, Mother's Day is a very nice day for us. Everybody loves their mother, including me, so you always want to do the right thing, right? So. But we welcome it. We don't need a holiday or an event to let everyone know it's open to the public 24 hours a day. It is beautiful, and we invite anyone to come.
Well, and I know for some, maybe many, it's an uncomfortable topic to talk about, but I had a gentleman in the funeral business in Florida once share an idea with me, and it really resonated with me. And so this message is sort of to that macho guy that just wants to tell his family, ah, oh, just bury me in a pine box, you know, I'll be fine. The funeral's not for you, right?
It's for those that are left behind. And you know what's very interesting is a really good friend of mine said to me, he and a buddy of his had met for a beer, and his wife had died suddenly. And his wife said, oh, just cremate me. And, you know, they had that same conversation we all have passing. Oh, just cremate me and handle it and don't spend a lot of money is basically the directive. Well, what had happened is he took her at her word. And a year later, he said to his friend, he said, you know, he said, I did myself a really big misservice. And Martin said, well, tell me about that. He said, because what I forgot about is all the people that loved her, mm-hmm. her work colleagues, the people she played tennis with, her sorority sisters, her family members. And he said, I've relived that funeral that I should have had every day at the grocery store, at the car wash. And he said,
When he runs into one of those people.
Right. Because they didn't get to at the time say, I really loved her and I'm so sorry. And so he's had to relive that day after day as he's run into these hundreds of people, right? Or they'll call around the holidays around her birthday. And if he just would have had a celebration that was all about those people that really loved her. And so I think that goes back to pre-planning and thinking is it doesn't have to be elaborate. It doesn't have to be over the top and it doesn't have to be expensive, but there should be something. There should be something to honor this great life that was lived, and you need to be able to do it in a way right now while we're healthy and vibrant and living, and because some of the very best funerals are the ones that were thought of in advance.
Right.
Right? And the family celebrated in a way that just honored that person.
Right. And brought closure.
For a lot of people, just not the immediate family.
Right.
So you're absolutely right.
Now, has social media impacted the funeral business?
Absolutely, because social media provides what? A lot of information fast mm-hmm. and now. And with information comes a lot of what? Misinformation. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's very important that, you know, that you do your homework and you come and visit these facilities, right? Don't take them at their word. The very best funeral businesses are the ones that, one, welcome you without an appointment and are 100% honest, have a lot of integrity, and here's the important thing, full disclosure. You want people to know your businesses inside and out because then it gives them a lot of trust and confidence on that critical day when their heart's broken. And that is what we endeavor to do at Southern Cremations and Funerals at Cheatham Hill.
So now, the funeral business historically has been family-run business, right?
Correct.
And is your business family-run?
Well, the businesses that I recently acquired were part of a large corporation, and so I acquired those from the corporation. However, I grew up in the funeral business.
Right.
My father, who's 80 years old, is still in the funeral business, and my first home was a funeral home. And so it's gets in your blood. It is so important. And so I would venture to say that now we are locally owned. We are locally operated. I am the owner. We've got a dynamite team and a whole bunch of family members working for us.
Mm-hmm.
So we'd encourage you to get to know us.
So now, what was it like growing up in that environment? Was it difficult as a child to be in there? Like you'd get questions from your peers?
You know, it never really dawned on me that it was a different environment until when I was a freshman in college and my dad had a funeral and drove up in front of the sorority house in a hearse because he stopped by to say hello. They said, hey, there's a hearse out in front of the sorority house. I said, oh, hey, that's just my dad. They said, what does your dad do? You know, until that time, it really never dawned on you that you growing up for you was different.
Mm-hmm.
It's a very noble, it's a very worthwhile, it's a very caring profession. And the people that are in the profession are genuinely kind and good folks. I mean, I have yet to really meet anyone that doesn't just genuinely care about their families that they serve.
Now, what about dealing with death? Do your peers go to you as like the death expert?
You know, they have for years, yes. And even today when, you know, I've got all of us that are in our late 40s, we've got parents in their 60s, 70s, and 80s. And a lot of us are starting to think about we're the next generation of caregivers and probably the next generation of decision makers. And so these decisions that we've been speaking about earlier are also going to rest with us, right, to help guide our parents to make good decisions for themselves.
What do you think of that woman in Oregon, the Death with Dignity movement that's up there?
I believe that that experience is as unique to her as it is, as she is unique. I believe what is right for one always isn't going to be right for another. And, you know, that was personal for her. And I'm always a, I always err on the side of, you know, people should be able to guide their own destiny. And I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out for us. And, you know, I also own a very large, the largest pet cremation company here in this town. And it's called Paws, Whiskers, and Wags Pet Crematory in Decatur and in Covington. And, you know, we make the conscious decision to euthanize our pets when they are sick and can't walk and are miserable and their quality of life goes down. And I think sometimes it's the kindest gift we could give to them, right? And I've watched that develop for years on the veterinarian side. And, you know, I think it's going to be interesting to see how it plays out. But I am a firm believer in people should be able to chart their own course. So, you know, we'll leave that to the lawyers and the politicians, right? So,
well, if somebody went to learn more, where should they go?
You can find us online at southerncremations.com, at CheathamHillMemorialPark.com. EastlawnMemorialPark.com or HollyHillMemorialPark.com.
And the pet one?
Is PawsWhiskersAndWags.com.
Well, thank you so much for being part of the show.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, listen, you going to hang out with us while we visit with our next guest?
You bet. Thank you so much.
Yeah. Next up on Atlanta Business Radio this morning, we have with us Director of Events for Amped Entertainment, Mr. Mike Walsh. Welcome to the show, man.
What up?
So let's see you follow that.
Excuse me?
I'm excited to see you follow Christine.
Absolutely. So our company is all about being alive.
There you go. Good, good segue.
Nice. Yeah.
So you can have a great party before the funeral.
But you, speaking of parties, you guys do weddings. You do a lot of life events.
Absolutely. I was here about a year and a half ago and was so excited that we had over 100 events. And if anybody asks us, well, what's changed since then? We're doing over 200 events now, so it's grown even more since then. So it's been a pretty exciting process.
So now, what is a typical event for you guys?
We do primarily weddings. Weddings and wedding receptions, about 75% of our business is that space. So we create a really great alternative to the traditional wedding DJ. So
what's a traditional wedding DJ?
Traditional wedding DJ, you'll see a lot of the interactive dances, the sloppy attire, bad customer service, the chicken dance, the Macarena, the electric slide, the YMCA. I could go on and on. So our concept is remixed weddings. And so our DJs are classically trained in remixes, mashups. Have you ever heard of Girl Talk?
Yeah, we're old.
It's so a lot of people love Girl Talk. It's, you know, this DJ that can create great mashups between like Madonna and 50 Cent or the Bee Gees and, you know, Jay-Z. So we like to bring that into a wedding, taking your favorite wedding tunes and kind of mashing and mixing them up in ways that are unique and fun. So it's a great alternative to the traditional experience that people are so accustomed to.
And but you still help the encourage the participants to get on the floor and not just sit around?
Absolutely. So our job is to create great mixes and really focus on the music side of the event and let the event run itself, really creating the focus on the bride and groom. And these days it could be the bride and bride or the groom and groom. That's also a big market here as well. So if we can keep the focus on them and create the energy through the music, then our job is done.
And then that takes care of itself?
Absolutely.
So now walk us through a person is getting married. You typically work with the bride. Who is the usual point of contact for you?
A lot of times it is a bride, but sometimes we get a lot of grooms. The bride will say, well, I'm taking care of all the other stuff, but you know, I'll let the groom handle the music.
But then
you
the
know,
groom's
I'll let him handle
like,
one thing.
I like heavy metal.
Right. Yeah, there's some education.
More
that
Metallica.
We've gotta, Right. And so we have to kind of explain to them that that's not really, that might have been great for your house party or if you're jamming out in
your
car.
But I love Metallica.
Let's play it during dinner then.
Okay. So you have to kind of educate them.
Absolutely.
Because of the downside of all heavy metal event.
Right, exactly. And honestly, if they want an all heavy metal event, we're probably not the company for them.
Right.
You know, we don't encourage our clients to give us a list of 3 hours worth of music. We've been doing this for a long time, and we can kind of, you know, get a feel for what you like and what you don't like, mm-hmm. and we can figure out the rest. If you hire us, the work is done.
So now walk us through like the typical, the woman comes in, she's like, okay, I want, the music's important to me. So what's the conversation look like?
Well, we want to get a feel for what they're looking for and, you know, to see if we're a good fit. So, you know, obviously the Remixed Weddings concept is great and we can do that, but there are people that don't need all the mashups and stuff. They maybe just want to hear the regular versions of the song. They have some older guests. So we want to get a feel for, you know, who's
going to be there. The demographics of the wedding.
Absolutely. And kind of get a feel for, are we a good fit for them?
So like if they like big band, Frank Sinatra, things like that, can you work in that environment?
Absolutely. Again, those things I think are great for dinner or maybe early on in the evening. Mm-hmm. A lot of people, when they create an event, the idea is, well, some of the older guests might leave early, so maybe play some of the older music earlier in the night. Some of them later in the night might have a couple cocktails and might not mind a little, you know, Lil Jon, you know, or some turn down for what.
So it's very collaborative, though. You're working with them to kind of get a feel for who's there and how long the event is and what they're kind of looking for, but you want to be kind of the one in charge of the music.
Absolutely. I think it's more customizable, and it's not just showing up and just hitting play.
Mm-hmm.
And you guys have more services. You do photo booth, that kind of thing. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so we do lighting.
Video, right?
Yes, lighting and photo booth and video as well. So we can take care of a variety of your entertainment needs. And the photo booth has been super popular. We've got a green screen set up, and then we've got the classic photo booth that you can sit in and take your pictures. You can upload it to Facebook and Twitter. So it's actually a marketing tool for like a lot of businesses that want to have an event. You know, they can be doing live Twitter feed uploads, Instagram, Facebook. And so it's a great way, like if you're a bar or restaurant and you want to create some buzz about the event that's going on, you can be, you know, sharing it online immediately.
And you do business events as well then?
Absolutely.
So just speak to that a little bit, yeah.
Okay, yeah. We work with a lot of local destination management companies that'll contract us out for, you know, if a company's coming into town, they need some great entertainment, they need uplighting, casino tables, we do that as well. And our photo booth is a huge hit. So there's a lot of weeknight events going on where companies are out of town and they want to come in and get a group of people together and have a really great party. So we can still do the Remixed events concept, but, you know, bring it into more of a corporate setting. And it is really growing, that aspect of the business.
And this is the season, right? This is the holiday.
Holiday parties are starting to book up quick, so call us.
So now, do you work with a specific facility, or you can go anywhere?
So we can go anywhere. We are nationwide. We're going to be doing a few events in Charleston this next year, so we're pretty excited about that. We've had events as far as Dallas and Anaheim. But primarily, most of our events are here in the city.
Mm-hmm.
We work with about 40 venues that recommend us on a regular basis and about 20 event planners that recommend us on a regular basis as well.
What about online? Do you get a lot of activity online through the, you know, the online, like the Knot or some of these wedding sites?
Yes, absolutely. So we're on the Knot, we're on Wedding Wire, we're on the Perfect Wedding Guide. And those have been three really crucial sites to getting our word out there and getting kind mm-hmm. of our message out to potential clients. Because before that, we were mostly word of mouth, and that was great. A lot of past clients will call us up and say, hey, you were a DJ at our wedding. It was fantastic.
Right. But how many weddings is an average person to have? Like three or four?
Right. These days? Sure, yeah. Only one funeral, though.
So what's next for you guys?
Next, we're just looking to grow this. We've actually had to take 2 steps back to take 10 steps forward. And the 10 steps forward, we're excited about seeing in 2015. So starting next year, we're going to be bringing on full-time employees to be creating this concept and getting that message out, you know, to all the venues, to new contacts, new markets. You know, we had 8 or 9 DJs working for us, and we felt like that was too much, and we really needed to kind of take a couple steps back and really focus on quality and really bring, you know, a true concept to life. So part of that, I mean, we did take our price up a little bit to focus on quality and meet the demand. And we're not getting any kind of, you know, nobody's really seemed to mind that so much. You know, I think we're getting what we're worth, but we're also adding the photo booth and the lighting and the casino. Right. So the packages are getting larger and people are trusting us with a variety of their event needs.
What's the most rewarding for you? What part of this?
Well, if I'm being honest, I mean, making money is definitely rewarding. I mean, you know, knowing, but you know, at the same time, when a contract comes in and we get a good review on Wedding Wire, I feel the exact same feeling because, mm-hmm. you know, making money is obviously something that everybody likes to do and, you know, get rewarded for their hard work. But at the same time, knowing that people really appreciate it is just as rewarding, if not more rewarding. So when we see that we got a 5-star review on Wedding Wire, we're up to 141 now on Wedding Wire, which is the number 2 spot in the market. And I think next year we'll bypass that and be the highest amount of positive reviews online of any DJ category.
And then, so you're not at every event, right?
Correct. I couldn't be there. So we have a staff of DJs that work with us exclusively.
But now, you do have some moves.
Like Jagger?
What? But you had you're involved in the training of the DJs, right? You
Absolutely.
Can't just let them do whatever they want.
Exactly.
You have a brand to protect, right?
Exactly. So, and that's, like I said, we had to take 2 steps back to take 10 steps forward.
So you had some scar tissue of letting somebody just go out there and do their own thing?
We did, yes. So we had a lot of DJs. I mean, you know, in October and September, it gets very busy. And, you know, in the past, we would say yes to a booking that maybe we shouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's definitely on me. And I think we've, you know, learned how to say no. And I think that's a good thing. You protect your brand, and it's a better long-term strategy.
Now, how do you go about your training with DJs? Because they're very creative people that have opinions and think they yeah. know how things should be, right?
Sure. So we've got a training program. I've actually hired someone on, Holland Yarbrough. He is a fantastic DJ, and he really is the pioneer of this concept in a lot of ways, alongside myself. And so we are meeting once a week and training the DJs on, you know, the mixing, also training them on like how to run an event from start to finish as well, and some good practical tools to, you know, take somebody from, you know, the beginning to end.
And because what are some of the like during the course of an event, there's a rhythm to it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And there's lulls and peaks and you have to kind of manage that, and you got to get a sense from the crowd when to kind of be more energetic and when to be less, right?
Correct.
And is that by feel or is that by...
Yeah, you've got to feel the crowd. You got to be able to read the crowd. So you've got to know what kind of music works, you know, at each point in the night. And you got to know if you're doing too much or doing too little. I find that, you know, when we talk about the traditional wedding DJ experience, it's more MC focused because there's not really a true talent behind the turntables. So they have to compensate by being really loud and over the top. And our clients really don't like that.
Right.
We really feel like if you're having a wedding in the city, sometimes you just need to shut up and play music. And that works 90% of the time. Obviously, you need to say the right things and keep the mood going. But be concise when you're on the mic and fit in the mood that you're in and not try to be more than that. Otherwise,
like
it's
you're
not
the star.
Correct. The bride and groom, or the bride and bride, or the groom and groom, or the star.
And then, so that's part of the training, though, right? You have to get them to believe that's the right path.
Correct.
Or else it's not an amped event. It's
exactly.
their event.
Exactly.
Right?
So set us up to be smart consumers. If I want to throw a block party or a wedding for one of my two mm-hmm. daughters, what kinds of questions should I be asking for? What kind of red flags should I be looking for when I'm talking to someone that I'm seriously considering engaging for something like this?
Okay, sure. Do you have insurance? You know, liability insurance? Uh-huh. Do you have a business license if you're in that particular city? Are you incorporated? Those are definitely good questions. I mean, you know, do you have reviews online? Do you have recommendations? You know, if you're looking at hiring any DJ, you know, where to start, you know, you can talk to your venue. You know, who comes into the space on a regular basis and does a good job? You know, do they have recommendations from wedding planners or event planners? You know, do they have Yelp reviews? Do they look like they're running a real business? Does their website look good? Or does it kind of look like this is their part-time job? Because this is your wedding, and you have one chance to get it right. And if that's important to you, then you want to do some research.
And that probably happens quite a bit in your industry, right? There probably are a lot of folks that just try to knock out a couple weddings on a weekend, but then they have a regular job during the week, right?
Correct. I mean, yeah, we see that a lot. And, you know, we're not a fit for everyone. So, you know, they're not to say that those people can't do a good job on a, right. on a you know, weekend and week out basis.
Sure.
But yeah, it's an easy industry to get into, but it's a very difficult road to perfect.
And you guys are a real business. I mean, this is what you do every day. This is all you think about it.
Absolutely. I try to get in the gym, too, a little bit.
You have to fine-tune those Jagger moves.
Yeah.
So if somebody wanted to learn more, website for you guys?
Yes. You can visit us at ampedentertainment.net. That's ampedentertainment.net. And you can follow the conversation on Twitter at hashtag AmpedEnt. That's AMPDEnt. Or listen to us on SoundCloud at soundcloud.com/AmpedEnt, AMPDEnt.
All right. Stay with us while we visit with
Absolutely.
One more guest. Okay. Bringing it all home for us, Lee, the headliner. He's been very patient. He's been nodding a lot during both of those segments. I'm sure he learned a lot. Now we get a chance to visit with him. Associate broker with the Residences at W Atlanta. Please join me in welcoming to the show, Mr. Eric Dowdy. Hey, man.
Good morning, guys. How you doing?
Doing well. Did you learn anything in those last couple segments?
Really did. This is our first time on Business Radio X this morning, and we're really excited to hear about all the opportunities going on here in the city, both with Christine and Mike. We're, I think, collectively all enabling experience and memory opportunity. You only get one shot to do these very
Either
significant
one of these,
events.
Right? I know. Yeah.
Well, unless it's the second or third or fourth wedding. but all of these, and you know, when you look at specialists in the industry like these, you only get one shot. And when you're living and breathing somebody's experience, you have to almost take it on as if it's your own. And only at that point can you really deliver it the way they need. Because, you know, you said something about knocking somebody's weddings out. I don't want my wedding to be thought of as something that's been knocked out over a weekend. I want somebody that's dedicated to it. So it's really good to see everything that we got going on this morning.
But you're here to talk about the residences at W in Atlanta. And just so you know, this is one of Stone's dreams.
Really?
Oh, yeah. I think so. I want to hear more about what you do, but I think this is right in my wheelhouse of my dream golden years.
Oh, we're loving that. Great effort. Great segue.
So talk us through, what are you guys doing for folks?
Sure. The Residences at W Atlanta is a very unique concept. I've, in my practice of over a decade in high-end real estate and multifamily, never seen anything quite like it. What we have are 74 private homes located above the W Hotel in downtown Atlanta. And what we have there is, you know, when you think of W branding, you're managed by Starwood, global operation, never deflagged a property, very solid financials, and a very memory-inspiring venue. Number one pool in Atlanta, great social venues, amazing restaurants, and BLT steak. And to think that homeowners can actually fall off an elevator and fall into their life. Mm-hmm. It's someone like a life on a cruise ship for those that have been
on
a cruise.
So it's a combination of a private residence, but you have some of the benefits of being in a hotel?
That's correct. There's actually separate master associations. So the homeowners do get the full condominium experience, private lobby, private concierge, private parking, private elevators. And so if you want to be completely exclusive, we have homeowners that, you know, we do business with and we don't see again for, you know, several months or a year.
Right.
Because they want to be discreet. However, you do have all the amenities and services of the W Hotel.
So like room service.
That's right. Like in-room dining is available.
I can call downstairs and they'll bring me dinner.
There's actually a house phone in your home where you can do one touch to concierge or valet. That's right.
Stone.
Singing my song, baby. This is fantastic. So how many residences are we talking about that you have?
There are 74 private homes. However, we only have four remaining.
Four left.
That's correct.
Well, I'm not surprised. That's correct. Do you purchase, or is there opportunity to to rent or lease, or do some people buy them and then they turn around and lease them to people like me?
Somewhat like two and three. You have these are exclusively for sale.
Right.
However, there are a certain percentage of homeowners that can, you know, turn them into business opportunities and lease them.
But can I do like an, what is it, Airbnb?
No,
probably some rules against that.
One thing we find that our owners are looking for is more of an exclusive residential experience. So, you know, to that end, you don't really want to see a transient turnover a lot.
Right.
You want to see more of a consistent neighbor that you have a relationship with. So what you'll normally see in high-rise condo is a 12-month minimum lease. Now, however, being that we're more of a destination opportunity in this specific homeowner association, an investor can do a minimum 6-month lease.
Mm-hmm.
But there will be a committed, you know, the people on the lease are in there. However, the primary objective of these homes, and most of the homes, are occupied by owner occupants.
So they're living there downtown?
Yes, full time. That's their dream. That's what they wanted, right? Right, Stone?
Absolutely. So tell me about like one of the homes. What kind of space are we talking about? Some of the features, amenities there in the space?
Sure. Overall, the homes will range upwards of over 4,000 interior square feet.
Wow.
So we're talking about full size homes that do, in many cases, trump single family living in Atlanta.
Yeah.
However, the main objective of these homeowners coming in is to ditch the yard service.
Right. And, I'm like, no more mowing a lawn.
And the pool keeping up and the termites and the pest control and roof maintenance and being fully responsible for everything. And that word responsibility is definitely a key thing. Because when you look at a lock and leave community, it's funny. We almost joke it's assisted living for people that don't need it. But it's the opportunity to really come in and enable a busy, productive, professional life, no matter what phase of your career or post-career that you're in.
Now, what's the advantage of this rather than just a traditional condominium?
Well, certainly a lot of the things that we're talking about. Most condos we find in town, and I've seen most of them, you live there and that's great. You can have a great life. However, when the day turns down, everybody comes home and it's like the rush to leave in the morning, the rush to come home in the evening, then the community kind of goes dark and kind of boring whatsoever. You don't really see a level of activity on the lobby level except for people coming to visit folks. On the side of the W, you'll certainly see more of an active social environment. You know, BLT restaurants, a four diamond rated Bistro Torrendel, I should be specific. They're going to be a high-end steak restaurant. So there'll be French-inspired cuisine, great raw bar, private dining room, wine room, some of the most great Wagyu steaks I've ever had. And then you'll also see things like drink shop on the second floor. It's a private lounge, TV lounge. They've seen them put DJs in and host like fashion shows and live singing, mixology. You have living room, which is going to be more of a, you know, W cafe in the morning, grab and go croissants. For those that like to have adult libations, the bar opens up around 11 o'clock and it's all full service. Then you have wet bar and pool, which is a heated pool on the 16th floor. So then you'll see. I mean, what other condo can you live in? You get poolside, you know, meal and drink service.
Are you hearing this? There's
yeah.
Espresso, margarita.
All your favorite things.
It's all right yeah. there. States. I have another prospect for you,
yeah.
But Christine has a question. What about pets?
You know, when you said PAWS, that word is very near and dear to the residences at W. We actually have PAWS, which are Pets Are Welcome Service. So in addition to things, you know, and you think about it, the whole branding of W is whatever you want, whenever you want it. That's what W means.
Uh-huh.
So if I need to arrange daycare or if I need to arrange feeding service, on the in-room dining menu to the homeowner, there's actually a pet section.
Wow. So there you go, Christine. Yeah. There's your answer.
Yeah.
So now do people live there with kids, or this is they got rid of the kids and now it's their own time?
You know, traditionally, you know, the condominium in Atlanta was, you know, not really built to accommodate the jungle gym, if you will.
Right.
However, these are full-size homes. So when we think about who are making discretionary purchases like this, because we are talking about $1 million and up, and we're also looking at an individual that you know, has the means to keep second residences if they want to, and many of them do. However, we're also looking at a destination area that is going to be definitely family friendly. We're steps away from Centennial Olympic Park, which anybody that's been paying attention to the park, this is not downtown, you know, this is not underground Atlanta before the Olympics. This is a major international platform.
Right. You could spend the weekend just right in that little quadrant of the city.
Well, what we even reiterate in our presentation is when people actually come to Atlanta to visit you, Centennial Park is actually where they want to go. Not to knock, you know, what's going on in Buckhead or Midtown, but, you know, when you think about the aquarium or Civil Rights Museum, College Football Hall of Fame, you know, sports
venue. And the restaurants, there's everything. Yeah. The Ferris wheel.
That's
so you
think
the Ferris wheel was a good addition?
They just extended their lease, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, sure.
So there's a lot going on downtown now. And you only have four left.
There are only four homes remaining. That's right. And these are spectacular penthouse homes. They are certainly one of a kind. They're three-bedroom, three-and-a-half bath with den, two-level, and between 3,100 and 4,200 square feet, priced under $2 million in Atlanta, never occupied, and some are fully customizable.
Wow. Now, how many residences are on a given floor?
About six.
About six on a given floor? But some of them have elevators that open into their residence?
No. These are going to be more of a... They're separate elevators or lifts, as we call them in W-Lingo, that are going to go direct to the homeowner's floors. Now, they're all secure access floors. So, you know, you fob the elevator, it only goes to the floor you live.
Right.
So there'd be no trick-or-treating going on at W from floor to floor. And our homeowners, like, they value the privacy. Because when you're dealing with, you know, this kind of clientele, you're looking at somebody that doesn't necessarily want random knocks. They don't want to bother. They had that in the house already.
Right. So they want their privacy.
They certainly value the privacy. And
but I've been in some condos where the elevator opens up right into the home.
Sure, sure. No, that's definitely a great concept when they execute it correctly. However, what we found most off is that when you're looking at maintenance of elevator systems, the more opportunity for exclusivity, you tend to have a higher carry cost and operational cost, up maintenance and upkeep. And when you deal with those kinds of communities and intimate sizing, when you're spreading the cost of kind of facility amongst a little bit of people, you can run into problems.
Sure.
So we got a heavy subsidization from W Hotel to keep our amenities and operational costs much lower.
Right.
Than
it seems
condos.
Like you're getting the best of both worlds.
It is. It is.
So now how long have you been working there?
Associated with the W for 2 years. We're with the marketing directors is my company, and we have a litany of amazing accolades to under our belt over 20 years here in the city doing specifically new condo sale. But this is certainly a marquee community, and we've been involved just as sales began only 2 years ago.
And you're already almost sold out?
That's right.
Wow.
That's right. In a very tough economy to come out of when we think of the recession.
So now the marketing directors is a firm that the W contracts with to represent them and sell the units?
Correct. Correct. There is a brand association, a trademark agreement with Starwood and Downtown Hotel LLC, the owner of the facility.
Mm-hmm.
And we have been retained to manage the sales and marketing exclusively for the homes.
And then so you do that with other facilities around town?
That's correct.
So how does the sales and marketing thing work? Because you don't just trip over people at your local Chamber of Commerce meeting that are looking for $1 million, $2 million facilities, right?
No. No. However, when you look at the landscape of real estate in Atlanta, when the average price per square foot of a home of this size, and there's only a very small, you know, number of communities to get this in, you're going to see something at W that's going to be 25 or more percent less. So this is where luxury meets true value.
So, but how are you having these conversations with, I mean, how do you even go about the sales and marketing? Are they calling you?
We have been recently doing outreach on Atlanta's best new homes. That's been very successful for us. And we know you got a lot of really, really great and cool listeners out there that are listening for something like
So you're
like
actively
this.
Promoting, letting people
Absolutely.
That know that you're out there.
Yeah, okay. Social media is a very big thing for us as well because we also parlay off what the hotel side is doing. I mean, it's very active. You have people dedicated for promotions and all of that. It's really going to keep hot attention on the property itself. And to think that you can kind of come above it, almost like sitting on top of a cloud and really have your own experience, but then touch it anytime you want to without getting in your car, or, you know, have a destination place that your friends and family can come visit you. And you don't even have to go in the house. You could literally be in the lobby.
right.
You know, the word of mouth is definitely what drives W.
So now, but a person who's staying at the hotel might be somebody that would be interested in this concept, at least, right?
And we've sold to those people. That's mm-hmm. right. When you look at the condominium residences, you know, this was a facility that was not converted from another hotel to a W.
Right, which we saw a little bit of during the financial downturn, right? There was conversions.
Exactly. So we were built in 2009.
As this.
As a W in the brand and with a residential component.
Oh, they knew they were doing this from day one.
Day one. This was it. It was built at the wrong time from the, you know, original developer's perspective.
right, sure.
You know, because you're not going to get, you know, $700, you know, $800 a square foot. However, that is the opportunity that is presented for the consumer today.
That's why there's only four left.
You're getting a home that's never been lived in, and it was, you know, it went through the institutional foreclosure process, so you're going to be, you know, looking at adjusted price points. However, with the intent that was built to sell we had, you know, two bedroom homes that, you know, sold for $750 that were originally priced at $1.8 million.
Right.
Yeah.
So the time is right now.
Yeah. You'll see interior finishes by Gaggenau, Dornbrock, Victoria Albert bathtubs. I mean, things that you'll only see in
the
very high end properties.
So if somebody wants to learn more, website for you guys?
Sure. WAtlantaResidences.com.
And then for you at the marketing directors, that if there's a facility that's looking for a company to represent them, is there a website for that as well?
Yeah, that will be themarketingdirectorsinc.com. And our welcome center is certainly open 7 days a week at 404-524-4092. And I'd like to add one more thing.
Sure.
It's a very, very special presentation for the owners and purchasers of these final penthouse homes. One of the unique features of W is that we're the only private property downtown where you can actually service a helicopter. We have a heliport on the roof. And for the purchasers of the final homes, we are debuting now a year's worth of chartered transportation service for the homeowners with the purchase of the home.
I'm in.
Yeah.
All I need now is a couple million.
Yeah. It's a game changer. I mean, because that's something nobody does.
When they arrive by plane, then they can heliport to their home.
That's correct. Whether Charlie Brown, PDK, Hartsfield, if they want to come on and land, or if you just want to take family around on an air tour, or we had a family just go from W to the LJ Apple Festival. And it took them 25 minutes from engine up to touchdown.
Christine, you in? You want to go in together?
Yeah. Yeah, come check us out. We'd love to, you know, give you a presentation.
All right. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for being part of the show today.
Thank you.
And thanks to all of our guests. This is Lee Cantor for Stone Payton. We will see you all next time on Atlanta Business Radio.